you don't know, my name is Vanessa Johnson. I started this podcast in April of 2020, doing shadow work over the course of the pandemic. And lately it's taken a direction of getting my truth out in the story of how I've been abused by my father for 10 years. This podcast will be very raw and very real and could possibly be very triggering. I suggest that you listen to it with your own discretion. This podcast will discuss narcissistic abuse and empathy, the relationship between a narcissist and an empath. And this podcast will discuss addiction heavily. Please, please proceed with your own caution. Hello, and welcome back. I believe where we last left off, I was discussing my hospital stay in 2013. So just a brief catch up here. I had gotten into an argument with my father. He attempted to collect all of the money that he had spent taking care of me so that I couldn't move out of the apartment we were sharing. He, myself, and his girlfriend. And in that moment, I don't know where my mind went, but I was pretty good. I was pretty done. And I was under the impression that I could not go home. I wasn't going to be able to afford to do what I wanted to do. So I was pretty good. I was pretty done. And after he went to work, I went out into the balcony. I smoked a cigarette. I went into the bedroom I was renting and swallowed about maybe 40 muscle relaxers. Stayed at research for about 4 days over that instance. And when I got out, I was told that I was selfish. And on the one hand, they're correct. I did traumatize them. But the causational ramifications to having my own healing put on the fast track the way that it was, because I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready to be in that situation. And he knew it. Because he wasn't ready to be in that situation. Forever cemented this image in my father's head that that was who I was. But when the going got tough, I just gave up. This is not entirely true. I will say that I have that tendency if I'm carrying too much. You asking me to carry your mental illness as well as my own, I'm bound to break. And that is exactly what happened. I was not allowed to express myself with my father. He believed that parenthood, I guess, was solely authoritarian, and therefore tended to lord himself over me Lord, just write to my respect over me, Lord, the title of Father over me. And I lashed out. Absolutely, I did. One night, I'm working on a paper for my English class. I've gotten out of the hospital. It's been a couple of months. We're in a new semester. We're all sitting at the computer. He's eating a chili dog. And he's discussing this with me. And I don't know exactly what we're arguing about. We're arguing. I don't remember what I said, but I said something that set him off. He flips the chili dog over, takes the book I'm reading for school that I rented out of the community college library. I'm sorry, bookstore. Smashes it into the chili dog. Grabs me by the collar. Throws me on the ground. And then picks me up because I'm crying and yelling and I'm fighting him. As one does when they are assaulted. Puts me back in my chair, takes me out to the apartment hallway, and proceeds to videotape me. I don't know that he actually put this on the internet, but he proceeds to videotape me in order to shame me. For reacting to him. Can anyone make that make sense for me? Because it doesn't. Really. You're the one throwing stuff around. You're the one making this an incredibly fearful situation. But I'm the one that should be ashamed. But I'm the one that should be embarrassed. Another night, we're sitting, we're arguing about me doing physical therapy. It's relatively painful for me to do this. I'm fairly new to taking muscle relaxers, so they haven't necessarily settled into my system yet to be working. For them to help. And it's painful. I don't want to do it. And we're arguing. And he takes me out of my wheelchair. He sets me in a stationary wheel. Or a stationary chair. In the middle of the room. And leaves the apartment. And leaves me completely immobile. For 3 hours. Because I'm asserting my bodily autonomy and telling you no. I don't want you pulling at me and twisting my body in ways that doesn't really go like that right now. Because that hurts. I understand that what you're trying to do is help me. But right now, that's very painful, and I don't feel like experiencing that kind of pain. That's up to me. I'm the one that's disabled. You have no control over that. I'm an adult. So here we are, with these horrible boundaries established, with these abusive tendencies established, with gaslighting and manipulation in the form of me being responsible for your mental well-being established. And I get to the point where I'm just not going to argue. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to do everything you ask, and I'm going to shut up. Eventually, shutting up gets to be too much, and my grades start to slip. Now, this is going to be the second time, but I've had an issue. So I Google it. He happens to find it on his search history. I don't disclose this to him. And, you know, I'm 18 years old, so I'm thinking my grades are private. We get into an argument over it. Excuse me. He attempts to ground me. I'm not having it. I am absolutely not having it. So, he attempts to ground me, and I'm like, bruh, I'm 18 years old. I've paid to live in this room. My name is on this lease. I'm not staying in here. And I go out to smoke a cigarette. He's pretended. He's faked me up. He's pretended to leave the apartment. And I'm, to be perfectly honest with you, I wouldn't have cared whether or not he left. But he's faked me out. I'm pretending to leave the apartment. I go to roll down the hallway, and here this man comes barreling at me. Neck cocked to the left side, eyes wide open as if he's possessed, chest open as if he's bulletproof, wearing a green and white striped shirt and a black New York Yankees cap. Topples me over and pins me to the floor. Grabs me by the face and screams at me. And then picks me up by the blouse. Sets me on the toilet. Pretends to leave the apartment again. So he's trying to manipulate me into believing that she's going to leave me on the toilet, non-ambulatory. And then walks back in, grabs me by the blouse again, throws me on my bed, tears my clothes off, grabs a belt, and whips, not whoop, not spank, whips, has left welts. My God. And you know why he did that? Because I wanted to smoke a cigarette. Because I was of legal age to smoke cigarettes. And I was paying rent. So I lived there. So, the next day, when he puts me in my chair and he leaves, I pick up the house phone and I call my best friend, and she sends the police. And I hop on the first bus out of town. This is where things get a little complicated. because I left in the middle of a pay period, and because he was signed up to give me care at the time, my father felt as though I owed him. He calls my friend and he berates her. You helped my daughter run away. You should be ashamed of yourself. Yada, yada, yada. And all we're trying to do is get my stuff. All I want is my laptop and my clothes. He feels that I owe him. So he forges a timesheet in my name and has his girlfriend sign off. Now this gets caught because they call me. And I'm like, no, because I left. So I'm the one telling the truth. And it gets caught. Because the timesheets that I actually signed, that he faxed over to me, were for days that I was actually in his home. So I go to sign up for benefits in any state I can't. And I can only assume that it's because this gets caught. So now any possibility of me living without you has been shot by your own actions. Because I wasn't even there. So I go and stay with a friend for a while. My grandmother dies. And I make peace with my father. And after a while of beating my head against a wall and not getting anywhere, I decide to go back to Kansas City because I don't have a choice. Boy, was this a mistake. So, I go visit him over Christmas. And I discuss the possibility of coming back. And I'm like, if I do this, I do it my way. I'm calling the shots. I'm the adult. Let me move. All right, fine. Okay, we have an agreement. I go back home. I wait on the letter for my benefits to make sure everything is set up. And I come back out. This little agreement we've had lasts for about a day. I wake up on an air mattress on his living room floor, and he sits me in front of my computer all of a sudden. I have a job. No one asks for this job. No one really wants the job. But I have it. Okay. But he takes no time to train me. He's agreed on paying me $250 a month, for which what he is asking me to do equates out to about 96 cents an hour. Which, whatever, I'm on state benefits. I can't really be afford to be collecting money like that anyway. But then I do the actual work, which he doesn't train me for, so I'm making mistakes left and right. I do the actual work, and I'm making mistakes left and right. And he catches a mistake of mine that could get him in trouble, get him arrested for fraud. He slams down my laptop that I paid for with my own money, that I don't recoup like that. And breaks the screen. And grabs me by the collar of my winter coat and slams me on the floor again. Hands around my throat. Again. I try to fight back and I got a bite. Slaps me across the face and asks me, "Did you just try to bite me, you little bitch?" So now, not only are you abusing me physically and mentally, it's verbal as well. And yeah, I did. Of course I did. Of course I'm trying to fight you. You've got me pinned to the floor. So that time, I do nothing. I wait him out, and I move out of the house. And because he had not paid me a single cent of the money that he promised me for quote unquote working for him, he decides to buy all of the furniture in my apartment. This was a mistake. And that we will discuss on next week's or the next episode. Thank you for tuning into my rambling. I really appreciate it. And have a good day.